excellent group, and somewhere around 183 on an average attendance. So we had an excellent Bible school, excellent group of children, and we're so thankful for them and for all the work that they have done and for their attendance this week. We had 17 decisions, five of which were rededications. So we saw some things happening in their spiritual life also as a visible result of Bible school. Let me share other announcements for the week. At 2 o'clock, we will meet here for our people search to go searching for those who live in our community. We are still in one area that we need to complete of finding out who is not going to church in that particular area. So meet here at 2. You'll probably be through within an hour and a half. We'll go out and canvass that area. Now this week, we found lots and lots of prospects for our Sunday school. So we have lots of names already written up for you to visit. And if you'd like to do some visiting, we'll be glad. Truman Close will be glad to give you some names of people to visit. So you do that today at 2 o'clock if you'll come out and join us for that. And at 7 o'clock, those of youth choir, your parents are asked to be here for a meeting pertaining to tour for this summer. So youth choir, you remember that. We've also found a Sarah Coventry ring that I have with me in my purse. So if you lost one on your way to church this morning somewhere, if you'll see me after church this morning. Another announcement about the World's Fair trip, those of you who are adults who are going, there are a couple spaces opened up for the World's Fair trip for August 9 through 13. The total cost is $138.95 per person. And we have spaces for couples or individual women. So if you would see Bessie Briggs or Mike today or this week and get your name turned in for that. Again, we're glad to see you here this morning.
Turn with me to hymn number 213 as we stand and as we sing together. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us as we stand together. 213.
Jesus. Father, we have come again today to witness and to work and to share in the kingdom. We pray thy blessing upon each person who is here, and we pray that thy spirit may speak to our hearts individually, and we may hear a special message that will be just suited for our needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now keep your hymnal as you're seated and turn with me to hymn number 60. As we sing together, hymn number 60, Ask Ye What Great Thing I Know, number 60.
Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. We go to the Old Testament today for a wonderful story. We've all heard it. We know it by memory almost, about Moses and the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn now aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land into a good land with a large and which is great and flowing with milk and honey. The place where the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites dwell. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this marvelous account at the burning bush, and the bush was not consumed. Let us come to God in prayer and meditation today in a spirit that I know that you're conscious of some personal need or private need. This would be an ample opportunity for you to whisper a prayer while we bow our heads, close our eyes, and meditate for a moment. Heavenly Father, thou didst not spare thine own Son, but delivered him up for us all, and who with him hath freely given us all things. We ask that thou would receive the offerings of our hearts this morning as we have brought them. These personal needs, and enable us to even present the gift of our lives and yield ourselves to Thee, that even with our body, our soul, our spirit, we might truly, freely serve Thee. And may this joy and blessing which we share touch the hearts and lives of people in the hospitals and the nursing homes, in places of confinement today. May this joy of ours go and be and stand beside the wonderful host of missionaries we have in foreign lands this hour. And may wherever the gospel is proclaimed today, whether it's in the country church, the big city church, wherever thy people are gathered, may each service be one of great joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, for it's in his name we ask it. Amen.
Our offertory hymn is 283, if you'll turn with me, please. 283, as we stand together.
Sin and the grave, we for the erring one lift up the fallen.
Father, it is always a privilege for us to share in thy work and cause. Whether it's great or whether it's small, we know that God blesses the gift and the giver. We thank thee for the gifts of this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh,
There is an experience that I doubt not has been the experience of many of us. The first chapter of Exodus is a picture of hopeless bondage. The second chapter of Exodus is a picture of failure and despair. The third chapter, the great God, the Deliverer, comes down and appears. The king has died, and things are in a sad state for the nation. Moses is 80 years of age, but he's not too old for God to use. He was born in the lowlands of the country in Egypt. And as a child, man sought to destroy him. He died on the mountain peak somewhere in Moab. God buried him. 120 years of wonderful, thrilling experiences. The family were descendants of a group that came to Goshen on the Nile. And Joseph had great favor with all the people of Egypt. But a new ruler in the political regime came to power who knew not Joseph. So taskmasters were assigned with whips, and they were to build cities such as Ramses, which was named for one of the ruler's son. They attempted to use the midwives to murder the little children. This did not work, and so formally a decree was set forth that all the little male babies were to be tossed into the river and drowned. Amram and Jochebed, two wonderful people, had two children. One's name was Aaron, the other's name was Miriam. And she was expecting a third child. And lo, there was great apprehension because they learned after they had prayed for a boy to be born that he would have to die. So they set out on a plan, simple plan of faith. And they hid the baby for 3 months in the slave cabin. But they felt that they could not risk this any longer. And so they developed another plan. And they fixed a little basket and made it secure that it would not leak water. And they placed the baby Moses in this basket and put him in the bulrushes beside the place where Pharaoh's daughter always daily stopped to bathe. The mother, Jochebed, went back home to pray. The sister Miriam stood close by to observe the events. And the princess came, and it was not long before she discovered the baby in the little basket. And in my imagination, I can see her picking up that baby in her arms with great desire. Oh, "Oh, I love this baby. I'd like to have him for my very own." And while these thoughts were passing through her mind, a little Hebrew girl began to tug at her skirts. "Miss, shall I go and get a nurse for this baby from among the slaves?" The idea was just right. And Pharaoh's daughter gave the order, and Miriam hasted off and brought the mother, and she received the baby. The princess named him Moses because he was drawn out. The mother took the baby home and kept him in her home and nursed him and taught him, and then prepared her heart for another day when another tragedy would come and she would have to give up the child. But during those days when she nursed the baby, she talked to him. When she tucked him into bed, she prayed for him. She told this little fella, "Someday God might use you for a deliverer in our nation." And all of this was taking root in the heart of Moses. When he was weaned, he left the slave cabin. He went on then to the palace, and hence to the university to study math, political science, government, and all that the university could give him. And that brings us up to where we are today. Failure. In the development of things, Moses was satisfied for a while in the palace. But then something took hold of him. "Will my people have to live under this dictator? Will they have to go on being slaves? Will they have to suffer under the taskmasters?" And so he had two streams working within him.